fine. So yeah, he was about 8 months old, and I literally was like, okay, I don't feel the same way I did after my first child. I just felt like a zombie. Nothing felt like that level of emotion when you're a new man. Like, you're filled with love, you're excited, you're scared, all the
You're talking about the four phases, right? In one of your reels, I think. Where, like, the first three is, like, kind of based on the child giving them love, blah, blah, blah. And then you have to focus on the mum afterwards.
Well,
because of that postnatal depression.
The mum needs the focus a lot.
Yeah.
Because people often... You know, when you have a new baby, everyone goes to see the new baby.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's there to see mum. When the mum's done all the bloody hard work.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's tough.
She's putting a shift. You know what I mean?
It's not just long. Sleepless nights. It's all the shit that your body goes through.
Yeah.
And even women don't really recognize it. They're so excited to see the baby.
Yeah.
And someone needs to hold mum. Like, they're there to hold the baby. And they're like, can I hold it? Can I hold it? Well, actually, can someone hold mum, please?
Yeah.
And look after her.
Mm.
Because she's got a big job now.
Yeah.
This baby's just arrived. She's done a big job already.
Yeah, and now it's just an uphill climb, right? Yeah.
And now it's going to be a whole different journey and a whole different life. And you become a whole different version of yourself as a mother. So someone needs to look after the mum. The only way that's going to happen if mum knows what it's like to be looked after.
Okay, fine.
And the best way to know how to be looked after yourself is by doing it your damn well self. Knowing what you need, that's your job. That's not somebody else's job. But it also is this whole fact of people don't really, women especially, are very, very scared, especially in our culture, of asking for help because it shows a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
I should be able to do everything.
And do you feel like that was like a part of yourself that you kind of hid?
Very much, actually. That's a good question. Yeah, I didn't want to...
Because in your role as well, you were like the strong-minded person. You had to kind of shield yourself from all of the weakness so that you could be seen as like... just as good, if not better, right? That's what we're going for.
No, not better.
Yeah.
You don't want to be seen as failing. And asking for help felt like failing. And it feels like failing for a lot of people.
That's such bullshit, though, isn't it? Because I know it's prevalent in our like culture.
100%. I'm actually a huge advocate. I make it a real point that strength is actually asking for help.
Yeah.
That's real strength to me. So now I've worked on that. And it's only been in the last couple of years that I've been strong enough to go, hey, I can't do this by myself. I need help.
Yeah.
It took me so long to bring on my first team member my business. But I was still really scared of asking for help in my personal life. So, you know, even if I need someone to look after the kids, gotta go somewhere, do something, it's business stuff, networking, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I never wanted to ask for anything.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to portray that whole independent, strong woman that doesn't need anybody. I can do it all by myself. And honestly, in my journey, as I've worked from my very masculine state into my feminine state, I genuinely realized that that was what really burnt me out and actually probably did affect my chemical balances and the way that I, you know, then progressed into postnatal depression, is because we really do operate in our masculine, women in our culture specifically now. But ultimately...
When did you identify that you were in your masculine, though?
Oh, very... No, this is only recently.
Really?
And
so you never identified it before, but you realised that you weren't asking for help and that was kind of the way you
wanted it. It wasn't the thing that drove me to it. It's just... Like, I'll come to that, but...
Yeah, sure.
I knew I was a driven person. When I was at school, I wasn't. I was in a private school. I hated the education
system. Oh, that's why you speak well and stuff. Okay,
oh, that why I speak well because I'm well read. The thing is, I was always very driven in my workplace. I wanted to be better, and a lot of that was to do with the fact that I knew I hadn't done the best of my abilities and achieved my true potential in academia. I'd done well. I did computer science.
I've
got my qualifications. But it was in the workplace that I really wanted to show my real, ability.
Your real potential to yourself, right?
Right.
And sort of unveil that.
To others as well, unfortunately. You know, you want the validation. And this was in my early 20s. And so, I was very driven, very masculine. Like, everything, I was competing with everyone. I saw everything as like...
Yeah, you seem pretty competitive as well, to be fair.
Well, I'm not now. I became stronger. I started being that person that basically wouldn't take bullshit from anybody. Whereas... before that, I would be in a meeting and be the person that sort of hid at the back and didn't really want to say anything.
I'd be
given the tasks. Whereas after I started really gaining confidence in myself, I'd be the person that was vying for more. And I'd be pitching myself to have the bigger projects.
And
taking it from people.
Yeah, because at the beginning of like your career anyways, you're not going to be the person who's going to speak your bit and like actually say, oh, look, I have some of these ideas. Do you guys want to take a look at it?
So surprisingly, or unsurprisingly, I work for a Japanese investment bank, and you'd find a lot of these grads that came from public schooling, and obviously male. I worked in IT, so it was very male-dominated. But I would see these early mid-20-year-olds really pushing themselves forward with this over-inflated ego. And I would be sitting there going, okay, I'm in my late 20s. I've been here for like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
How are they doing this? And I'm not. I'm still sitting here waiting. Because I waited. I waited to be given opportunities and waited to be given tasks. Whereas when I gained my confidence...
You were almost waiting for the validation, whereas like... when you built yourself up, you kind of already knew that you had the validation.
It wasn't I was waiting for validation. I was waiting to be told what to do because I didn't believe that I had the ability to do what I wanted to do. So more than anything is when I was ready, I didn't choose the projects I knew I could do or the work that I knew I could do. I chose the situations, projects and work that I knew would be outside of my comfort zone, that would force me to tap into areas, knowledge, gaps that I would have to then fill. But the only way I was going to do it is by actually throwing myself into it. So what's the worst that could happen? That's the mentality I took when I trained. Like, that's the mentality I took in my career. So that really did take off. And I honestly had...
And that only took off after you had your kids?
Yes.
That's mad. Well, okay, so before you had your kids, you were kind of like in the corner, hiding away kind of thing, not really pushing yourself to do more than the bandwidth that you already had.
I was great at what I did. I was in a very specific niche. I was so good at it, but I never really put myself in place to really show my true potential. And I actually had one of these amazing managers, after a not very great manager.
Okay, yeah, fair.
I had one of the best, and he said, I don't think you realize how amazing you are. You have not even seen your potential. And I always had that at the back of my mind, because when you've constantly been told at home, Asian parents, you're never good enough.
Your
results are never good enough.
The B's are not good enough.
The pressure's on, you're never good enough. I wasn't the highest performing person at school. So I already knew.
And that's the self-talk that you kind of embed in yourself.
Absolutely.
Right?
That internal narrative is so negative. You convince yourself that you're not good at anything, or you're not good enough to achieve this. And it took just that one guy who I had a lot of respect for. And he had only been there for a few weeks.
He'd only been there for a few weeks.
For a few weeks. And he said, you have no idea your potential. It's crazy. He said, I think we're underpaying you. Which is insane.
And it's the same for a manager to say, right? Because he kind of like controls those lines as well, right?
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think I went home like floating on air.
But
then you kind of, again, life happens and you convince yourself that, no, it's, you know, he just said that. He was having a good day, or I had a good day. I must have just been good in this area, on this project. So you kind of confine it and you don't really act on it. But it was after, like I said, that I started to build confidence in myself by looking after myself, by prioritizing myself, that I built. And honestly speaking, when I talk about it like this, it makes me realize it wasn't how I lost weight or how I looked. It was more about the fact that I was making promises to myself and delivering them. And this is what we do. So you know how you have people that say, okay, 1st of January, I'm going to work out 4 times a week.
Yeah, that's why the gym is so packed then, 1st of January. Right.
But then they stop. Like, it feels overwhelming. Life happens. It gets in the way. They don't see results. And they stop. So what have they done? They've broken that promise to themselves.
Yeah. And the more promises that you break to yourself, the more you're breaking yourself down, right?
Absolutely. So your confidence is stripped bit by bit.
But people don't think like this, right? Like, when they're doing the yo-yo diets and it keeps on failing, they don't think like, oh, I'm breaking myself down slowly.
Exactly.
They just think, oh, that one didn't work, or that coach didn't work, or maybe I wasn't applying myself at that time, but I will this time.
And then,
but they hadn't realized the fact that they're broken down themselves before, which is why it's harder to then go on the bandwagon again, right?
And what they then fail to actually verbalize and maybe even be aware of is the fact that they have this internal belief that they're just a failure.
Yeah.
Like they can be successful in their career. They can be successful in their business, but I always fail at losing weight. I'm just not good at it. I'm just not good at strength training. I'm just not good at cooking. Well, actually, you tell yourself that to keep yourself safe as well. There's a part of us, the most primal instinct of a human being is to keep ourselves safe, to survive.
Yeah.
And so if we perceive something as being outside of our comfort zone, the first thing our brain wants to do is keep us safe and go, no, don't do that. Don't try that. So I have so many people saying, okay, I've heard that weightlifting is dangerous. So I could injure myself. Okay, how do you know? You haven't tried it.
Yeah, but they're looking for excuses before they've even started, right?
Their brain's going, hey, look, I need to keep you safe.
Yeah. And I've heard as well on your Instagram quite a bit that you kind of just say no to certain people or before you vet them, right?
So, I do. And
so tell me a few examples of when you've been like, okay, no, and tell me what you identify when you do.
Do you know what? I'd like to take that back, actually, because that actually ties really nicely into the whole my understanding of how I was very masculine and operated in such a competitive driven way. I was so ambitious, everything was do, and I got to a great place in my career. That's also the ethos that I started my business with. It was constant hustle, do, achieve, compete.
And
you know, you're just in that I am gonna smash my targets.
The phoenix is rising, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The problem is you as a woman, that's not our natural state. Our natural state is a flow state. We're not aggressive. We're not typically ambitious in the same way a man is. We're not competitive. We're collaborative. And that's a feminine space. And the divine woman, divine feminine, is an embodiment of both. Like you, the same as a man. We have a fantastic,
you need to have that yin and yang, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Within yourself and also in partnerships, relationships, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But first within yourself.
Yeah.
So obviously I had the masculine, but my feminine, my natural state.
Yeah, you had that pattern, didn't it? Like that was already done.
Yeah.
That was boxed off.
It was almost over practiced.
Yeah.
It just engulfed me.
Yeah.
But that was my survival.
Yeah. That's what you needed to do to excel in the realm that you were in.
Exactly.
Because you defined success for yourself already before, right? Or your parents did, maybe.
Everybody, everything around you does. Our whole community defines success for us. I've spoken about
what was success, anyways, back then for you.
For me, or society and community that was taught
for
to
both,
me?
Both for society, I think, because that's probably what you were paying attention to, right?
So society is expecting you to have, you know, kids by a certain age, be married by a certain age, have a career, have the nice house, the nice car, and be living a certain type of lifestyle, have a certain number of holidays a year. Your friends need to look a certain way, behave in a certain way. And as you go through the generations, you're just then trying to keep up with everyone else around you. We're all moving as a pack.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's put on us by the people around us and our loved ones, because that's what they're seeing everyone else achieving. So they're putting that on you. They're doing it out of love.
Yeah, because they think that's the best way.
Exactly.
And back in the day, that's all they were preached to. So they were like, okay, yeah, I need to do this.
And they lived through hard times.
Really, a lot harder than the times that we live in. You know what I mean?
I mean, these modern day is hard.
It's a different type of hard.
It's a different type of hard altogether. But they really did have to fight for survival, a lot of them. Like, I don't know about your parents and your grandparents, but my parents were kicked out of Africa.
Yeah.
So they came here with literally nothing. And so when you come from survival, all you want is for your future generations to not have to operate in survival.
Yeah.
So you pour everything into them to make sure that they are
equipped.
Equipped. Love that word. Equipped. And that you have helped them to achieve from wealth perspective more so than anything else, because for them at that time the reason why they were in survival mode is because they didn't have
the resources.
Exactly. So that becomes a level of success that we all hold ourselves against, and the only way that we actually break away from that is when we actually start to get to know ourselves. Because when we tune into our inner selves, we understand that actually my life fulfillment isn't around having the nicest car, or having the biggest house, or earning, you know, 200 grand a year plus bonuses and having six holidays a year. Actually, my success is I get to every day through the work that I do help people feel better about themselves.
Mm.
Like I genuinely feel that's what I've been put on this earth to do. And so I call it my magic,
but
I'm here to spread my magic. And I wasn't able to do that in a masculine space at all. And I started in my business in a very masculine space. But as I got to know myself better and as I started feeling really burnt out from my business, I was like, what's going on with me?
Mm.
What is happening that I'm putting out there, and how am I operating that's making me feel so burnt out and so fed up? I actually started getting fed up in my business.
Yeah, at the beginning when you started?
No, actually, only a couple of years ago.
Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you mean by you were in a masculine space with your business?
I was operating from that competitive, aggressive space.
Okay, fine.
The hustle mentality.
Do,
achieve.
Yeah.
More clients, more...
But that was the blueprint that worked for you before, so I can see why that happened, right?
It's the mentality that worked before.
Yeah.
And it's also how everyone else in my in that arena was operating too. And I was surrounded yet again by men, by masculine energies.
Okay, fine.
And that's where I've always thrived. Now I see it. I can see through the fog. I'm like... Yeah, that wasn't you thriving.
Yeah.
That was you still in your survival, operating from your masculine. You got on with more masculine energies because you were in your masculine.
Yeah.
So you resonated more with them from that frequency. But like I said, when you don't operate from your natural state, what you'll find is people do stuff, like the universe makes it very uncomfortable for them. It's like, you don't belong here.
Yeah.
You don't belong in this space. Same thing is when you're so aggressively not in your natural state, your body starts to shut down. You start to feel off. And that's what started happening. So this was a couple of years ago. And I was like, I don't want to, this business is not making me happy anymore.
Yeah.
It wasn't the business.
Yeah, it was just the energies that were surrounding the business, right?
No, it wasn't the energies around the business. It was me.
And the places that you put yourself in, though.
Because
that makes a big impact as well, right?
It does.
Or do you feel like you first had to take yourself out of it
then
understand yourself and then put yourself back in?
I had to take myself.
But all we see is like how you've changed it from A to B.
Right, because I had to keep up the flow in my business. I can't just say, right, I'm not going to operate in my business anymore.
Because you made the decision to stop the investment banking thing and start this, right?
Absolutely. So. And it's still a fantastic decision.
You must have felt stuck then at that point.
In that, when I felt like I wasn't happy in the business,
I did. Because you were like really doing well before, and then you were in this period where it was kind of like floating.
I took the lull.
Yeah,
I didn't.
You just took the hit.
I wasn't pulled by my business. It didn't start deteriorating.
I took
myself out of it.
Yeah,
I stopped pushing aggressively. I stopped doing because I needed to focus on me. And I lost my dad in lockdown. Lockdown was really hard for me and my kids, and it was a tough time. And even then, like, things really flew at that point, so I had no chance to really sit back and tune into myself. And so when I did take myself out of that aggressive space and let my business just flow, I really did have to work on myself. And there were lots of things that cropped up for me that I was really surprised by. This being one of them, the fact that actually I put myself in masculine spaces, i.e. there were some real divine masculine energies around me, which allowed me to be in my feminine space. Now, I don't know how much you know about this, but women need to feel safe in a masculine energy to then step into their natural feminine space.
Yeah.
If we don't find that space, we have to be the masculine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you need the energies to balance wherever you are, right?
But we also need to move forward.
Yeah.
Okay. But when we are around, when we feel safe and protected in masculine space, we can happily step into our feminine. And the feminine is very flowy, and she's very creative, and she's very chilled.
Yeah.
And that's not how I was operating or running my business.
Yeah.
But I spent time in that space, and I realized how happy I was, how at peace I was, how my brain could just shut down. Whereas before I was such an overthinker
Yeah.
I would never stop thinking. And as a business owner, generally, yes, we do.
Yeah, because you have to be the leader of the operation and you have to be pushing people like this way and that way, right, to get the job done.
It's pushing people. It's like, what? How am I going to keep operating my business? Where is my business going?
Yeah.
The little things, obviously, yes, but also the big things. So you then end up never switching off. And for a woman, our logical brain isn't our natural space.
Yeah,
we're the creative space. So when I started actually finding myself in that flow, in my feminine, I was so happy. Like, you, women tend to become more childlike, very expressive.
Yeah.
Like, they're so fun to be around. They genuinely exude this aura of magic.
Yeah.
Which is, again, like I said, why I call it magic. I have this magic and I hadn't been able to tap into that.
Yeah. So now you have like almost an emphasis on that. You're like, okay, like, my magic needs to be seen because it does so much for so many people.
Absolutely.
In your small circle, probably, right?
Yeah, firstly, the small circle, yes.
Yeah. That's where it starts, right?
It is. Actually, where it starts is you.
Yeah.
You have to pour into you. And that's why being around like divine masculines is so important to a feminine, because that masculine is actually a masculine energy. Their whole purpose is to serve. And a masculine wants to give. And a feminine is a receiver.
Yeah.
So it works beautifully. So when you have someone who's pouring into you, who's serving you, who's letting you sit back and be in your flow, I have so much magic overflowing that I then pour into everything and everyone else around me.
Yeah.
That's the power of a true feminine. And that's why this whole polarity that we find ourselves in now, where women really are in a masculine space and then the men are then stepping back into their feminine, it's not working.
It
works for some situations
and for some people, right? There's elements that work, obviously. Like, in order to survive in London anyways, I feel like you kind of need like two incomes, right? So the woman kind of has to work as well as the man.
But who said that the feminine doesn't work and generate an income? I didn't say that.
Yeah. No, but obviously they have to, right? So they're going to be in masculine spaces because of that.
Not necessarily. The feminine is still able to generate an income, but she'll do it.
Yeah, of course.
And she'll do it in a space that feels right for her, rather than because of survival.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah.
It's where she can then flourish.
But like, they'll often find themselves in male-dominated spaces because of that, right? Like, it will spill over because of that's how the world is going. That's where it's shifting towards.
From the perspective that I'm talking about, is no, the world isn't becoming more masculine. The people in the world are becoming more masculine because there are fewer and fewer masculine men for men to sort of idol, to be the idol, to be the leader, to be the person that actually you can look up to. And I see it like a, please don't get me wrong. Masculine man isn't this, you know, Neanderthal.
Yeah, of course.
He's also a very considered human being, and extremely valuable to the world, to us, to our overall population.
Yeah.
But it's just because, and I know like people are going to say, oh yeah, a man isn't allowed to be a man anymore. But actually,
I don't think you said that.
But people do think that.
Yeah.
The thing is, it all does start with the man. It does. And people, like, this is the bit that gets me a lot of controversy, is because there's obviously feminists and then there's feminines, two different states. Feminists, obviously, we're looking for equality. And it is equal. Yin and yang, there's no one is stronger than the other.
It's just both have strengths, right?
Exactly. They're both equally as strong in their elements, and they come together to create this magic force. However, it does start with the man, and the man does need to really embody his masculine to then give that feminine that safe space that she feels protected and provided for, where she can then be like, okay, I'm gonna now be able to spread myself across this beautiful space so that I can pour everything, all the goodness that I have, into everyone around me. And you'll find that masculine women will raise obviously feminine men, because they've got feminine, more of a feminine partnership in the man that is in that partnership.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the boy is being raised by someone who is also making that masculine space for him to then not have to step up in his masculine space.
Mm.
So I was listening to a podcast, I think it was a month ago, that said men need to break up. I know this sounds awful, but I like it, there's a lot behind it. They need to break up with that that relationship with their mother, with their masculine mother. Mm. And create, like, and it happens that men obviously start maturing
a little bit later, right? Yeah, 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 for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Later than women. But there needs to be that sort of transition where the boy becomes a man and goes, okay, mom.
Yeah, like, I'm going to take care of you now, as opposed to the other way around.
Exactly.
Yeah, because whenever I like hear people talking like marriage on podcasts and stuff like that, it's always like the man kind of has to do all the training in order to like facilitate working with the woman in the household to keep up everything going on. Because I think a lot of us, like even in my household, I'm definitely from that household where the dad kind of takes care of everything and the mom kind of takes care of everything in the house.
The dad takes care of everything financially. Yeah.
And I think that's probably still prevalent. I think from like your perspective, because you're like a little bit older than me, right? So you've had more experience.
Just a bit.
You know, we're trying to be nice with you, right? You know,
years,
what I mean? Yeah. But because you're older and you've obviously worked in a very different way, I feel like you just see the world differently.
I still would agree that a great household will have...
And for someone to match you, you'd have to look for a different type of man kind of thing.
So, if that makes sense. if you have a typical feminine and she's in the same space as me and she wants to find a partner, she wants to find a partner who, yes, is able to provide for them both.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Who is a decision maker.
Mm.
Who has the ability to lead and got proof behind the pudding, i.e. he's built himself up, whether it's business, whether it's work, whatever it is, that he is a logical problem solver, that he's a giver, that he's a generous, kind man, but has a strong foundation of leadership. Okay, that is what a feminine woman like myself will then find safety in.
And I
will have to also add,
I feel like a lot of women kind of expect the man to be like that already.
But that's the thing.
And then when they're not
actually happening,
that's kind of where it breaks up.
It's not happening though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because women are doing now so well in their careers.
100%. Yeah, businesses. Yeah. They're doing their shit.
The pool gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah. The more successful women get, the smaller the pool for that woman gets. Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Exactly. And she doesn't want to truly operate from her masculine. Like I said, it's
so that's the kind of difficulty that you're talking about, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can have a woman that is in her masculine space. Because trust me, I am, as much as I have built more femininity into my business and the way I operate in my business, because I do run things via my intuition. I'm very intuitive, and I do focus on that. And so when you asked me, you've said no to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you do say no to people. That is one of the things that I will rely on is my intuition. I'm an energy
leader. Like, I don't have a good feeling about this person. They're not really going to stick to my plans. They're going to end up feeling worse because of it. I shouldn't take it on because that would be hurting them, kind of thing.
No, actually.
Yeah. That would be a nice way to look at it, though, isn't it?
It's a more selfish way.
Yeah.
Actually, how am I going to show up for this person?
Mm-hmm.
Is this person in the right space for me to pour into them? Because if they're not making me feel good, I can't give them what they need.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I will always, like, I'm an energy reader, I'm an empath, I'm really tuned into that stuff. But then there's also a part of me that, well, unfortunately does still operate from sometimes from a savior complex. So I let some slip through the cracks. And I always tell people on my calls, I only take, it's approximately 60% of the people that are on a call with me get a space with me or my team to work with us, because I'm trying to see if, not just, are we a good fit? Are you going to listen to what I tell you? Are you going to follow instructions?
Yeah.
No, coaching isn't instructing.
Yeah, no, it's.
You want to go and get...
You have to give and take, right?
No, coaching is more so, how do I ask you the questions where you can come up with the resolutions?
Yeah.
How can I see you and your situation and your actions and see it from a very objective space?
Yeah, because you want it to be a partnership, right? You don't want to be like telling you what to do kind of thing.
You don't need instruction. What do you learn from instruction?
You don't really learn anything from instruction, really. Right. Alone, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we all get the IKEA flat packs.
Yeah.
How many people actually follow the instructions?
Yeah, no one really, right? You have to make it up as you go along. That's the fun of it. That's the fun of it. That's why people go IKEA, right?
And a lot of people will actually end up building a much stronger, sturdier thing because they've added all their bits and pieces to it.
Yeah.
But we tune in to what this person needs from us for us to draw out their solutions. So you are giving the solutions to yourself. You're realizing what you're capable of. I'm not telling you, hey, I know you can get 10 pull-ups when you can't do one. I'm telling you, okay, where do you feel that you would like to be at a certain point?
Yeah.
And then how are we going to work the right actions in to help them to get to that space? Yes, they're going to have to focus on getting good sleep. They're going to have to focus on building other parts of their body. They're going to have to work on achieving targets bit by bit rather than throwing themselves into trying to hit those 10 pull-ups. It's all
that'd be crazy to just start from there, right?
But none of us, like, we all have to recognize that success comes in small progressions. But we're so fixated on this
on the big wins, right?
This
finish transition, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Instant gratification. We want it now.
Yeah.
We want it like Uber Eats and like Amazon Prime.
That's probably the biggest difficulty for like fitness coaches, right? I know it's predominantly fitness. I know it's transformation coaching. It's a little bit more than just fitness for you. But that's probably the biggest difficulty is everyone's after that instant gratification. So as soon as they don't finish a 12-week program, they're kind of just depressed a little bit, right?
Depressed, they don't want to, they don't carry on with doing the things that,
and then it goes back to that chimp paradox where they're like, okay, I'm just going to keep myself safe from another failure again, right?
But that's the thing, that's you, we're assuming they failed in the first 12 weeks.
If
they got the results in that 12 weeks, that wasn't enough time for them to become the person who keeps the results. Okay, and this is the problem that we see here, is that we need to keep progressing to get to where we actually want to get to. But that means that the foot doesn't come off the pedal. We actually break it down and we keep resetting those goals.
Yeah.
The whole premise of a human being is growth. Growth and connection.
Yeah.
Okay. How are we going to continuously grow if we keep ourselves in this little box saying, okay, I've hit where I wanted to be. And that's it for me. Like, I know I'm not going to achieve my business successes in the same way as I thought that I wanted to when I first started it and when I was a couple of years into it. I thought I wanted to scale and, like, you know, be coaching across the world from the perspective of having multiple coaches across the world.
Yeah.
And now I've really dug into myself and my internals and my narratives and my traumas and just the way that I feel happy in my flow. And what gives me peace and connection? I don't want that. My business, success for me in my business is where I actually get people to fall back in love with themselves.
Yeah.
The more
because that's what you've done for yourself as well, right?
Exactly this.
So the whole premise for your business now is kind of what you did for yourself and how that's impacted your life, right?
Honestly, yeah, that's the big basis of it. I don't want anyone to feel like they're boxed in this little cage of a life that they were told to build around themselves by everyone else. And instead, I want them to find their true potential, which is not marked or jaded by anything or anyone else. If someone told me 10 years ago, you're going to be doing weighted pull-ups. I keep saying pull-ups only because I was doing them this morning.
Yeah.
So it's fresh in my mind. But if someone told me that, I'd be like, are you having a joke?
Yeah. I don't take the piss out of me. Come on.
Yeah. And it would have made me feel really sad. Like, literally, you're just trying to break me down by showing me what I can't do. And I want to help the people that I work with, especially over 40s. And I focus on the over 40s now. Obviously, I'm over 40. I was raised in a generation where people hitting their 40s was when they started thinking about retirement, winding down, not wanting to... You know, they weren't pushing to do better in their careers. In fact, they were thinking about, right, we're nearly retired now.
Yeah.
Retirement age back then when I was a child was 50, 55.
Yeah.
Okay. when I see myself in 50, 55, I'm like, how much more will I be doing?
Yeah.
How much more will I have achieved? Not from a masculine perspective, not from I be richer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or will I have, you know...
But you want to be more fulfilled, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. And the helping people thing is like the most nourishing thing you could do, right? Will Which is why so many people do it.
Will I have written a book? Or maybe three? Will I be doing speaking book tours?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, things like that.
What that would be sick. I know. Imagine if you do that. That would
yeah,
be...
Yeah, I would love it. And
you definitely have enough content for it as well, right?
You
know
what I mean? You mean life experience?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant, yeah.
But that's the thing. I want more. And this is why, like, when people ask me, what is it that you're looking for in your life? I want more in life experience. And by that, I completely understand that it may not always be positive.
Yeah.
There will be negative life experiences. But I'm so open for that growth.
Mm.
And I'm so open for what more I can learn about myself. And that is why... I can be of, like, people always ask me, how come you're so positive? I'm not. I just choose to see the positive that I can get out of a situation.
Mm.
So I've been through a shitload of crap
in
the last few years. Like, a lot. More than anyone will ever know, truly. Yeah. But I don't believe that, that needs to be my narrative. Because actually, if I hadn't, I wouldn't be who I am now.
Mm.
And I wouldn't be how I am now.
Yeah.
So I believe everything.
And you don't need to necessarily talk about the crap in order to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so there are certain elements that you just think, you know, this is just for me.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm on Instagram and social media and I am on, you know, podcasts and things like that. You have to keep a little corner of your world for yourself.
Yeah.
It's so important that you do that. Mm. So there are times that I will retreat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I won't be so hard and heavy on my social media.
Yeah.
Because for me, especially, and I go back to it, in my feminine space, I need to know when to retract and rest and digest and be in my protective space so that I can re-energize. Because I know I've got so much more to give, but I'm not in a space where I feel ready to give it right now. So I'll take myself away a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, a lot of our audience is kind of males, right? And obviously, when you say, oh, retreating is being in my feminine space, they think that they can't retreat because it's a feminine thing. But you said before that there is male and feminine that exists in everyone.
Yes.
And everyone needs to nurture themselves accordingly.
I love that you've said that.
You know what I mean?
Thank you. Yeah, it's so nice.
Because they'll be like, oh, is that a feminine thing to do? Oh, I can't retreat now. I just have to be on the ball all the time. No,
exactly. Yeah. This is why men's mental health is suffering so much as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Massively. It's because they don't have the space.
Yeah.
Men don't get together and be aggressive anymore.
Yeah,
and be
all
chummy and pally and get all out their aggressions out anymore.
Yeah. Well, it depends.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
Hopefully, I'll still have friends like that in, like, you know, 5-10 years time that we're just like, you know.
Yeah. You know,
getting out all of our aggressions and stuff, like taking the piss, you know, like that's what we should be doing, right?
Exactly. You know, it could be football for some guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? A couple of times a week.
Yeah.
It could be going training, but mostly, obviously, when you go to the gym, you go and do your session by yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back in the days, men used to go out and hunt together.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd go for a couple of days, a few days at a time.
Mm.
So they'd be around other masculine energies. They're, like, really aggressive.
Yeah,
You know, they're getting physical with each other, but they're having fun with it.
Yeah.
And they're also then able to get things offload.
Yeah. And we just offload in different ways, right? So it's just understanding that we do that and how to do that for each person.
Yeah, you have to know.
And for you as a transformational coach, I assume that you don't just have women over 40.
No.
So you have all sorts of people. So you have to understand how different people tick.
And honestly, I adore working with the men I work with.
Mm.
I absolutely adore it. I actually don't have a preference whether I prefer coaching females or males.
Yeah, yeah.
I just do focus on females because we go over 40, we go through such a hard and heavy transition.
Yeah, and it's more personal to you, right? So obviously you're going to do the things that feed you or feed the past self that you had, right?
That and of course my future self, because I'm now starting to transition to and through menopause, perimenopause. Yeah. And so I can resonate more so with the women who also are
And you just have more information to give them as well, you know what I mean?
And I can tell them, oh god, me too. Like, I walk into the kitchen repeatedly going, I don't actually know what I came in for.
Yeah.
But that's just one of the things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to bring it back to the whole male mental health thing, because yes, you're right. For males, it's important to retreat. However, when a male is in the right relationship with a feminine energy, that feminine energy makes the space for him daily.
Yeah.
For him to come home and know that he's nurtured, that he's got a space. Because the female, the feminine energy is emotional.
Yeah.
Male is much more
magical. And I find in relationships, that's probably the biggest thing is like having that space. Like even in the relationship I'm in now. So I'm in a relationship.
Amazing.
And yeah, I feel like that's probably the most important thing that the woman can do, right? It's like give you a space to just like vent out. Because you're not going to be able to vent out to like your masculine friends, for example. Like when you're out and about, you're not going to be talking about the most emotional things. I feel like I can do with my very close circle.
Amazing. Good.
But yeah, oftentimes when you're with like acquaintances, you're not going to be able to talk about stuff like that.
You want
the
affection.
Yeah.
You want to know that somebody loves you, regardless of the fact that maybe today you didn't hit your target.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like
you've
got that safe space and you know that that person is your person.
And they're not going to judge you for it or like, you know,
exactly.
Put you down or wrong just because of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that is, again, that is why that dynamic works so well. Because although that man is coming home and being able to be in that safe space with his woman, or partner, he's also going to take that love, that nurturing, that affection and that space that she's made for him and use it to refuel, to go back the next day and absolutely own his domain again. Okay. So he's recharged in that space.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So then she goes, okay, I've been able to pour into my man. He's gone out there and progressed.
Yeah.
Which means I feel now more safe again.
Yeah.
That he can provide, that I am now still protected. And again, I'm going to bring it back to the physical space as well. Women, evolution has made us stronger physically.
Yeah.
But typically, we are not the gender that went out and did the hunting and gathering.
Okay.
We stayed home and we reproduced, we've cooked, we've provided in different ways.
Yeah.
Okay. So we weren't, it wasn't necessary for us to be physically strong.
Yeah.
And so if we take it back to the base of those energies, like a feminine energy wants to know that she is going to be physically also protected. Not just this man can provide a good, strong house for me to live in.
Yeah.
That protected also from the world that is always trying to sap her energy.
Yeah.
But also physically protected.
Mm.
And so when you have a man who doesn't physically look after himself.
Yeah.
Talking six-pack abs and a bloody...
It's not, but just that. Like, you know, at least weekly activity, you know what I mean?
Yes. Be strong, be fast, be athletic. Do what you can.
Yeah.
To make yourself this physically strong person.
Yeah.
Because that level of masculine energy is necessary as well. It's not just your brain, how you operate.
And it's automatic as well. Like, we know that that's what women need as well.
Yes.
And if you're not that, then you're... Yeah, just vulnerable, isn't it?
Right. So
in the marketplace.
So I don't know what it was like for you at uni.
Mm.
But I remember being at uni and going to all these nights out with my friends. I used to live with a group of girls.
Yeah.
So we'd go out for a night out and we'd go to a club and generally pretty much all the time you'd see fights break out.
Yeah.
And all these other guys would wade in and they're all trying to protect their friends. And you get all that masculine energy. It's really, really, really strong at that time.
That's when it's the most potent, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's like when guys are fighting with about girls in clubs.
It's not even about girls. It's just they're fighting.
More time it is about girls, though. You know that. That's what I saw in uni anyways. If anyone went saucy, that's what happened.
Okay, is that where?
That's where it was. Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
So from that perspective, they then obviously finish uni, they get a job, they get responsibilities. Like now they have this 9-to-5 job. Maybe they've got a girlfriend, a partner.
Yeah.
You know, they're really trying, maybe they're studying for further progression
education
of their
and stuff
career.
Like. Yeah.
And so the time that they had that they were being able to be that aggressive and physical.
Yeah, it's gone now.
Yeah.
They don't have time for it.
They don't make time for it.
Yeah.
They don't prioritize that time to go, okay, I've got to study, I've got to go to work, I've got to also have after work drinks or networking or whatever.
Yeah.
I've got to spend time with my family, I've got to spend time with my girl.
Yeah.
So then the things that fall off are the things that they think, all right, all those other things are important.
Yeah.
I don't need to go and be physical. I don't need to go to the gym. I don't need to go and do a workout or a run or whatever it is. And so they then don't have that masculine energy really replenishing in that same way.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'll bring it back to me.
Yeah.
I know when I'm training, I'm totally in a masculine space.
Yeah.
I am pushing for progression.
Mm.
It makes me really happy.
Yeah.
I know in my business, I operate in a masculine space.
Mm.
But everywhere else, I want to embody my feminine.
Mm.
So for the man, he's got to make sure in the right places he is operating at his most masculine, so that he can then tap into both elements of himself. He needs to know where he gets his masculine energy replenished from.
Yeah.
But he's got to make the space and time for that as well.
Mm.
So that woman is going to understand, hey, I know you need to go to the gym 4 times a week, because actually that helps you to be in a space that makes me feel safe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you probably hear a lot of it, because I assume that a lot of your clients are single women. I know we spoke about it a little bit before.
Yeah, but yeah. A lot of them are. So I've got clients, obviously, who've never been married.
Yeah, yeah.
And are still looking for partners. I have got a lot of clients.
You must have so many dating stories, right? Because you get pretty personal as a coach, yes. I assume.
Yeah, we do get, like, when you, that's the whole thing with a coaching relationship. It can get quite deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And actually, I've built some amazing friendships from coaching relationships.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yes, I do hear about quite a lot of dating stories in personal life. I sense that you want to ask me something. Please go ahead.
No, I'm not. I'm just letting you speak for now. For now.
Yeah, there are a lot of dating.
I was going to ask about their pain points and stuff, basically.
Yeah, go on.
In dating. So I assume that you've kind of already glazed over a little bit. But can you talk a little bit more directly about some of the things that they might have said that are not cutting it for them in terms of the men's dating pool?
Love this. Yeah. Okay. So it's not that there aren't good men out there. There are great men out there.
Yeah.
The thing is, like we said, touched on earlier, as women get more successful, more driven, more ambitious, they're doing really well, they do want to be attached to, connected to, and find a partner that is better than them. Because women do want that, not just the provision and the protection, but they want to be inspired
by their man,
absolutely.
Mm.
And so I find a lot of my clients who are dating that, you know, they have to settle in some areas. So, you know, they have to date with men that aren't doing as well in their career as them. And now if you have a secure man who's okay with their
partner making more than
making
them.
More money yeah. than them, or being in a much better position with their career, then it can work. As long as the woman knows, the likelihood is I will always be doing better than him.
Yeah.
But what kind of then starts happening is the dynamics that you start building up that resentment. Because when you then partner off and you want potentially to have children, that woman is going to have to step away from the workplace for a little while.
Yeah.
Can she feel safe in the fact that said partner can provide for her and the offspring?
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's kind of that period where she's going to take a step back from
women
work, right?
We have to think about all of this stuff. Like, are you going to be able to look after me and my children? Our future children?
Yeah, but it depends how much worse the man is doing, right? So, like, if he's making, like, for example, like 50k, you can kind of like get by, I guess, for a couple of years.
I mean, it depends on what your lifestyle is like.
Of course, of course, yeah.
You know, what you like to live your life, how you like to live your life. But things are...
Yeah, because by that point, you've already kind of built a lifestyle as well, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
But then you have to add in the children's education.
Yeah.
That's hefty.
Mm.
Paying for what children, babies need... Like, you can have a mother that works from, that takes some time out and doesn't actually go back to work and just becomes a full-time
mom.
That doesn't mean it's free.
Yeah.
It's not free.
Mm.
There's still expenses.
Loads of expenses, yeah.
Exactly.
It's not going to stop, is it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that's just a temporary measure, period of time.
And so, that's our best case scenario, isn't it? That the woman gets back into work. That's the best case scenario, isn't it?
I mean, I desperately wanted to get back to work because, again...
Yeah, but you're kind of like channeled towards that, aren't you?
I was extremely...
You're like, I'm going to be successful in something, regardless of what it is, whether it's the coaching or whether it's...
Actually, for me, at that point, the reason I wanted to get back into it was because, A, I was like, I've worked so hard...
To get to this point in my career.
This respect.
Like, I've got the accolades, I've got the respect now... I talk in meetings. I don't stay in the corner.
But not just that.
Mm.
I couldn't use my brain as a mum in the same way.
Mm.
And I loved being useful.
Yeah.
From that perspective where I could use my skills I could use my learnings, my knowledge, my experience. And I was, you know, I'll just say I was amazing at what I did.
Mm.
So why, like, I didn't want to be around other mums who were staying at home with their children and talking about their babies and development and, oh my God, you know, they rolled over today, or we tried this new weaning recipe, and I was,
that just wasn't exciting.
It wasn't for me. Yeah. It just gave me nothing, and I felt so depleted from that.
Mm.
So I did go back to work very early, actually, after my first child, after my daughter.
Mm.
I started working when she was 8 weeks old.
Oh wow, that's mad. That's mad. So you were really like hungry for it.
A lot of the women that I date, a lot of the women that I work with.
Yeah, we're not just switching sides right now, you know?
No. A lot of the women that I'm working with who are dating, what they find is that you know how you have that tick sheet?
Mm.
It almost has to be there. I hate the fact that it has to be there.
Mm.
But A, you don't want to waste time connecting with the wrong person. So you need to know, okay, do I want kids? Does he want kids?
Mm.
Okay, if I do and he doesn't, that's already not going to happen. Move on. And that's fine.
It should be like in a priority management list, right? It should be like, okay, what's the most important
thing?
What are the deal breakers?
So do you want kids? Do you want a lifestyle that looks like this? If dude here wants to retire at 45 and move off to an island.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
By the way, just put it out there. Yeah.
But I want to be around my family. I love city life and I want to be around the hustle and bustle.
Mm.
That's not going to be a match.
So, no.
But these things, you have to make sure that the boxes are being ticked in the same places so that then whatever energy, whatever time, effort you put into building that connection, because yes, you do have to put in the time and effort to build a connection.
Yeah.
You are doing it with someone who has the same values as you, has the same plans as you. Like, it's not going to work. You can have insane chemistry with somebody.
Yeah.
Like a lot of my clients will say, oh my God, this guy was so amazing.
Yeah,
and
he
was, you know, highly attractive potentially, or, you know, gave me a lot of affection, attention at the beginning. So you feel very sort of
safe.
I don't want to say safe. You feel like you're being tended to.
Right? You feel important. The relationship is being nurtured.
And so you feel like someone is making an effort with you.
Yeah.
You get that validation as well. But that chemistry, that initial chemistry, isn't what builds a life.
Yeah. But that's what people prioritize. That's the issue, right?
And this is the thing. When I get to work with women like that, I then have to look at what their history's like. What have they been through? What is their self-belief like? What have they become because of what they've been through? And what is their internal narrative saying? So it's not just...
To almost reverse engineer people, right?
Exactly this. It's not just, hey, are you having enough protein today?
Yeah.
And getting your workout in.
Yeah.
It's fill yourself with the endorphins with your workout.
Mm.
Nourish yourself so your gut is supporting good hormonal health, so you're not all fucking irritable all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And it's just focused to pre-period. And then... let's make sure you're supporting yourself in the best way possible, creating a good physical base for you to then be able to tap into what you truly need inside of you.
Mm.
Because if you're going to make decisions about your partner, about a potential partner, because you feel insecure about yourself.
Yeah, you're coming from the wrong place. Awful,
yeah. Decisions.
Mm.
And then as you start evolving, and he starts changing and you're not growing, you're both growing, but in different directions, it's not going to end up as a successful
partnership.
Right.
Yeah.
Long term. And we aren't the generations anymore that were like our parents where it was arranged. Potentially. You didn't go through the
You would shame the family name if you separate kind of thing, right?
You stayed together.
It's a little bit easier.
You stayed together even if you were unhappy.
Mm.
So that's why now you see people who didn't make the decisions from the right place early on, and then later in life realize, actually, that wasn't the right place I made the decision from. This isn't working, but I want to be happy. That is something that I still want for myself at 35, 45, 55, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I do have a lot of women who are separating or divorced, you know, single parents, single mums, even single dads. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're dating as well. But your priority list becomes different at that stage. But you've also understood you're a bit more evolved. Hopefully you have a little bit more self-worth because you've built that strength and resilience by saying, actually, no, this situation wasn't right for me.
Mm.
Hopefully in a loving way. And then you can move into a new situation with a lot of understanding about yourself.
Yeah. And then you know what makes you happy and then you know what to look for.
Absolutely
as well, right?
Absolutely right. I know a lot of women. I've worked with a lot of women who have been, who are in second marriages.
Mm.
And are the happiest that they've ever been.
Yeah.
And so
that makes it all worth it, right? At the end of the day.
It was the journey you had to take to get to that point.
Yeah.
We can't negate. We can't be sad, upset, beat ourselves up for anything that has happened in our past, because it all had to happen for you to get to a specific place in your life.
Mm.
So, yeah, dating is different for different stages of your life that you're at. I've got, you know, women who are preparing to walk down the aisle. You know, they're about to get married. I've got brides to be. And honestly, I just feel like, and you know, from your generation, actually, I just feel like they're so much more evolved than someone like myself was at that age.
In terms of?
How they've picked partners.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I had a conversation with one of my clients and she honestly is making so much progress and she's such a highly evolved, most beautifully souled woman.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wish I could clone her.
Yeah, yeah.
She's so phenomenal. And she tells me these things about her partner when I tap into, she's talking about how much more confident she is and how she can do X, Y, Z. And it's not all around her body getting smaller. It's around how strong she's getting, how much more confident she is at work.
Yeah.
How people have said X, Y, Z to her in the past, but actually her partner's reminded her of something. The way she talks about her partner, how he is her support, how he builds her up, how he creates a gorgeous space for her to just feel really looked after. And when he is like wanting to do things and she's like, I haven't gone to train yet. He's like, go and get your training session done.
Yeah.
Go and do this. Let's do this together. Let's, like, honestly, it makes me so happy that she has worked on herself and found someone who is the equivalent match of her, who's creating harmony.
Yeah.
And so she then supports him in multitudes of ways as well. Like, it is one of the most amazing things that I see.
Yeah.
So whatever she did.
Yeah, just do that.
I feel like everyone should just match
her.
But then again, like I said, she's in her
20s. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, no, sorry, she's 31.
Okay.
A woman who is, I've got clients who are in their mid-40s and even mid-50s who may have grown-up children, may have teenage children, and their whole dating criteria is different. They need someone who's going to understand that the kids come first.
Yeah.
They need someone who's going to understand that, actually, I don't want a, you know, let's just go out and have fun relationship. I'm dating with the intention of ending up with someone who is going to be part of this blended family, togetherness, you know.
It is a very evolved way of looking at it, right? Like, I'm looking for someone who's going to be supportive in these realms because I know that I'm lacking in certain areas, right? So,
or who's going to help me grow in those areas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's going to support my growth.
Just strengthen me. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Help me strengthen myself.
And that is exactly why the dynamic needs is so important.
Yeah. And then, like, it's weird because when you talk about, like my friends dating, right, for example, and the kind of ways that you try and, like, lure a woman into your world is yeah, I know that sounded bad. I'm gonna take that out. So
no,
I need to take that out. I need to take that out. But you know how they kind of like, oh, I don't want to show her that I'm too into her because then she'll be turned off by this, for example, or I don't want to be too supportive from the jump because that might turn her off and I might be like one of these guys who are in her list who just keep on giving me praise and, you know, compliments and stuff like that.
Maybe I'm just different then.
Because
when you speak like that, I'm like, that sounds like the perfect guy.
Yeah.
So for someone who is, I think it...
You get what I mean, though.
Yeah, I do totally understand that. And it becomes a bit of a push-pull situation. Right? Because this is why it lends itself to the whole, oh, don't act too eager. Don't message her back straight away. Wait 3 days.
Yeah.
Who the fuck made up that rule? Well, it's because you don't want to seem keen and you don't want her to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Women who are secure in themselves will not take advantage of a man.
Yeah.
In the ways that will make him feel like he's being taken advantage of. Women who are, men and women.
Yeah.
People who are secure in themselves don't go out of
Don't play these games. No! Basically. Yeah.
They don't, but they also know themselves.
But they also know that, like, in their past, these games have been played and they have worked. So they're like, okay, maybe the world kind of plays to these games, so I have to play these games.
But your ability to your filtration system has to be stronger.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, for sure, yeah.
So you can tell.
Why are you being petty for? Come on, like, this is supposed to be a partnership here. Like,
but you couldn't just say, oh, why are you being petty for? I don't want to be part of this conversation. Yeah. Walk off, right?
Yeah,
you'd be like, okay, honey. You know, this situation feels like it's become bigger than it needs to be. Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
What about this situation is bothering you?
Yeah.
Right?
And then someone who's toxic will be like, I don't want to have this discussion.
Right.
This is too much. Treatment. Yeah.
Oh, you're making me feel a certain way. Yeah. And, you know, you always blame me.
You come on too strong. Yeah.
You get gaslighted.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, the whole ethos of a good relationship requires two secure individuals.
Mm.
And that means that those two individuals need to have worked on themselves in their own spaces and then come together as two secure individuals, not needing each other, but there to support each other's growth because they know that actually this isn't the best of me yet.
Yeah.
And I know that being with another person who is the yin to my yang is going to bring out even more amazingness of
from yeah, me. Yeah. Right? So you need to come together with 100% of yourselves, right?
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, I need to fill up my
I'm
other half
60% kind of and I need my 40%.
Yeah, that's just a bullshit way to look at relationships, isn't
exactly
it?
But the effort has to be matched.
Mm.
And when you're in a partnership with someone long term, like, you'll find in family dynamics there are times when, you know, the husband's work just gets crazy busy, he's not able to put in as much time in maybe cleaning or, you know, cooking on the days that he used to cook. Sometimes for that temporary phase, he's not able to do that.
Mm.
But his woman's like, it's okay, I know. I know you're going through this at the moment.
Yeah, I've identified that this is a time that you need a little bit of extra help.
I need to put in a little bit more. Or we need to get additional help because I haven't got the capacity for it. And husband goes, you know what? Yeah, cool, let's get some help. Or thank you for filling in the gaps where I can't do it right now.
Mm.
But then when he's able to, he's back in play.
Yeah.
And then there may be times when potentially she's sick. She's not well. Maybe she's going through some stuff. Husband goes, you know what, babe? I got this. You need to go and rest, relax. I'm going to send you to your mum's. I'm going to send you off with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
But take some time. Come back renewed, refreshed, and ready to do this with me. Because we're a partnership.
Yeah.
This is how this works. And this is why it's so important to know that those two whole individuals can be safe and secure, knowing that they can be vulnerable with their person. And that person isn't going to use that to attack them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think that's the big reason why men don't want to talk about their, like, vulnerabilities with each other, is because it could be used against you.
In a male situation?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
It can also be done in a male-female situation.
Of course,
you know.
Yeah.
And that makes me quite sad. Because actually, your partner should be your safest place.
Yeah.
Where your vulnerabilities, your weaknesses can be open. Okay, the only way we can strengthen them is by actually being able to work on them openly in our safe spaces. And yes, you're right, like, out in the dog eat dog world, man cannot show his weakness out there. He needs to show his leadership, he needs to show his skill set, he needs to show he's growing and evolving and becoming stronger at whatever he's doing. But weaknesses are obviously something that everybody has. And if you find you're in a partnership, and it doesn't just mean romantic partnership, partnership, it's partnership, you know, in business even. If you find that this person is using your weakness against you, or to, you know, using it to beat a stick around your head.
Yeah, then your filtration is just on these words, basically.
Mate, yes. Yeah.
You need to do better for yourself.
You need to do better for yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you're in a committed marriage relationship, you're going to need to call that out and say, you do this. This is how I feel when you use my weaknesses against me. I would prefer if you helped me to work on them and strengthen those weaknesses instead. And if that person continuously uses your weaknesses again, that is what I want for everyone out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's important to really make sure that you are, A, looking after yourself physically, but also from the emotional, mental perspective.
And I think we actually spoke a lot about that today. Like, oftentimes on your Instagram, I see that it's mainly about empowerment and about, like, the effects after if you put these changes in place.
Absolutely.
But today, I think we talked about, like, reverse engineering a little bit. Yeah. We kind of talked about the nitty-gritty, the crap. And, yeah, I think people are going to resonate with that a lot.
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, no. This was sick.
Good.
This was sick. And, yeah, it kind of, like, alerts to me how much work you actually put into your craft being a transformational coach, because it's not just about, okay, this is how much protein you need, but what have you had in the past, or like what traumas are kind of like running your internal monologue, and how do we change that?
As in, you're asking me to, for people to ask themselves when they're making those changes?
Yeah.
It's important. It's
or really like important. Even just how you understand their traumas and how so you can kind of lend to that.
Yeah, it doesn't always come out straight away.
No, of course, yeah. Not everyone's going to talk about their traumas, right? They're going to want to keep that part to themselves like you do, right?
Absolutely. Like, I've got major childhood traumas that I'm still working through.
Mm.
And I suspect I will be working through it for the rest of my life, but I'm in such an empowered place to do that.
Yeah.
That it doesn't...
Now you're in the position where you can do that.
Not just can do it, but it doesn't hold me back from being my best.
Yeah.
At this point. But I know that if I keep working on it, I am going to build even more so. My potential is limitless. And that's the thing that we do go through so much in our life. We do, and in our community, we don't talk about a lot of stuff. We tuck it under the carpet. We get told to shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not safe to talk about certain things. And ultimately, what that then means is that we don't deal with it. We don't cope with it. Like, the whole of last year, I spent in a lot of pain because I had disc bulge and sciatica. Mm. I never really talked about how bad the physical pain was. Most days, I would end up in tears.
Mm.
But I carried on. And I was being super, super positive. You know, business. No one wants to see someone crying on social media all the time.
Yeah.
But...
Sorry.
That's okay. No one wants to see someone crying on social media every freaking day.
So
I didn't really talk about it, but I was in a lot of physical pain, and it was one of those things that the deeper I got into my emotional state and all the things that I had been through that I hadn't dealt with, that I just tucked it to the back of my mind. I hadn't expressed that emotion and released it, and it was all just stored within me. As I started to release those emotions and understanding where they were, why they were there, what I was actually tuning into myself for and from, the physical pains started falling away. Our body manifests physically what pains that we are dealing with emotionally and mentally. And unless we can really feel into that, accept it, use it and release it, our body's going to stop holding on to it, and we're going to feel like shit. So that's why it's so important that we do have spaces that we can talk about it. I really advocate being open and honest. Like, I had someone who joined as a client today, and I asked her, I said, what made you decide that I was
now's the time and it's you that
it's me.
She's going for
She said, you're really open and honest, you don't pretend. And I make a really big deal about showing up authentically.
Yeah.
Huge.
The no bullshit approach. Right?
Not just no bullshit in how I'm going to coach you and what I'm going to teach you about yourself. No bullshit in who I am and how I show up. What you see is what you get with me.
Yeah.
Okay. But she said, you talk about your periods. You talk about, you know, what you're struggling with your kids.
Yeah, you talk about things that people are scared to talk about.
Exactly. You talk about the fact that men like this, women like this, and, you know, like, you're not afraid of talking about the things that people are really struggling with, but they don't want to talk about. I did a whole live on just periods. Someone's asked me to do something on sex through the perimenopause and menopause, because that's a huge topic. I'm on doing all of this stuff. Am I worried about it? No.
Mm.
I used to be that person that would be like, oh, you can't talk about this. You can't do this. Everyone's going to think you're like this. Well, fuck it.
Yeah.
If I don't do it, how the hell is anyone else going to get comfortable with talking about it?
Yeah.
You know, we are not made up of dirty little secrets. We're made up of experiences and things that we need to release from ourselves.
Yeah. Now, I feel that. Like, everyone who goes therapy knows what you're talking about there, right?
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Everyone knows.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, obviously, thank you for coming on.
No, you're welcome.